Things are changing. They always do. It's just the way it is in life. Things change. The moment that Jesus Christ came to your life and said, follow me, in that moment, he called you to a life of change. There's no going back. The minute that you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, follow me, I'm leading you into new territory. I'm leading you into my plan and my purpose for your life. And there's no way to move forward in life without experiencing change. And most of us don't like change, right? We're comfortable with the things that the way that they are. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, no. He says, you follow me. You follow me and you experience what I have for you. It's all about movement. The Christian life and experience is all about movement forever. The Lord is moving. He doesn't stop. And if you're following him, you got to move too. And if you're going to move with the Lord, things are going to change in life. That's the way that it is. We've been studying for 9 months in the book of Exodus. It's been amazing, 9 months. This has been great. I hate to see it end. Last year in August, I went to Canada like I do every year, and I prayed, and I had a different idea, and I got up there, and I felt like God said, you're going to study the book of Exodus. I went, okay, let's do it. And it's just been so great. But we're coming to the end. I want you to pray for me. Next week, I'm going up to do my stint in Canada. I'm going early this year, and it just happens to correspond with our last week in Exodus. I don't know. It's a God thing. And I'm going to go up and just pray and say, Lord, what next? What should we study? And, you know, Leviticus could be Leviticus. Twist the pigeon 3 times, sprinkle its blood. I don't know. Whatever God says, that's what we're going to do, okay? So just pray that I hear clearly, all right? If it doesn't go well, it's because you didn't pray for me. So pray for me, please. And I'm excited to see where we're going to go. But here's the cool thing. The last word of the last sentence of the book of Exodus is about change. It's about movement. It's about a journey. It's about going someplace. And that shouldn't surprise us because the entire book of Exodus has been about that theme. Exodus means the way out. It's God's way out. It implies movement. It implies change. God finds a group of people enslaved in Egypt, and before it's through, he says, you'll be priests unto God in this world. He finds a group of people who have nothing to live for, no purpose, no reason to get up every day, spending their lives working on meaningless projects for an evil king. And before it's over, he says, I'm going to call you to the greatest purpose that the world has ever known, give you a new identity, give you a freedom to live in that. It's going to be fantastic. And so we've seen the movement. And every step of the way has been a challenge. Fearful. Got to get up. Got to take a stand. Got to follow God. Got to stand up to Pharaoh. Got to go through the Red Sea. Scary. Got to go into a wilderness where there's no food, no provision. What are we going to do? Got to face that. Scary. Come to Mount Sinai. There's God and quaking and fire and smoke and lightning and the sound of a trumpet and all this stuff is happening. And God gives the Ten Commandments and the people are scared out of their minds. And through all that process, through all that change, God is transforming their lives to be the people that he's called them to be. And that story is your story. And it's my story. It's the story of Exodus. It's a story of redemption. It's a pattern of God. It's how he works in our lives. This is what God is doing in your life. The thing I love about Exodus is it's not just what God did once. It's what God always does. It's what God will do in your life and mine. But only if you follow him. And if you follow him, things are going to change in your life. Would you read with me Exodus chapter 40 and verses 33 through the end, through the last word of this book? It says, Moses set up the courtyard around the tabernacle and the altar and put the curtain at the entrance to the courtyard. And so Moses finished all the work. It's great to be finished, isn't it? The end of the day, you get off work, I'm done. Oh, finish the project. It's great. You know, garage sale's over. Thank the Lord. It's great to be finished. And so all this has happened. God led them to this place, gave them the blueprint for the tabernacle. They took an offering. Right? We talked 4 weeks about that. They took an offering. They had the resources now to build this tabernacle. They built the thing. It is a model on earth of a spiritual relationship. And the people, it's the most special thing. It's the greatest thing they've ever accomplished. And now it's finished. Everything's done. It's a great feeling to be done. But it's not over. Verse 34, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled upon it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. I mean, this is what they've been waiting for. It's everything. Everything. Can you imagine for a minute just this idea? The cloud of God's presence was something that the people had seen in all different contexts. The very first place they saw the cloud was when they came out of Egypt on the night of redemption, when the lamb was slain and the blood was shed and it covered them and they were protected from the wrath of God. And they went out, and as they went out, the cloud appeared. And it was a pillar of fire and a cloud at night and just the cloud during the day. And they saw this thing and they said, that's the presence of God. And they began to follow. And the cloud out before them became the visible symbol of God's presence and reality and redeeming power in their midst. And they followed the cloud. It's amazing. Went to Mount Sinai, they saw the cloud again and it kind of grew. It's like the cloud went, and it grew and it became this giant storm on the mountain. And that too was the presence of God. The Bible says Moses went up into that mountain in Exodus 24. He disappeared into the cloud. And there God gave him all the pattern, all the revelation for the tabernacle. It's amazing. These people are fascinated by this cloud. And they've seen it in all these different contexts. And now it's like all of that could be gathered up. All of God's power, all of His leading and guidance, all of His protection, all of the revelation that He gave to Moses, all this is symbolized by the cloud. And it's like God says, I'll pack all that up. I'll just take this cloud and I'll pack it up and I'll just condense it down. And it's going to come and it's going to be right in this little tabernacle, right in the middle of all of you. And that's cool. That's amazing. You say, wow. All of that is in that tent. All of that is in that cloud right before us. This is the fulfillment of everything. It is God in the midst of His people. It's everything. It doesn't end there. Verse 36. In all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and the fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight, literally before the eyes of the whole house of Israel during all their travels. The very last word and the very last sentence in the book of Exodus is about movement. All their travels. And so here's what we find at the end of the book of Exodus. The victory of God has been accomplished. He defeated the enemy. The heart of God has been revealed. He showed His very character and His heart in the revelation on the mountain to Moses. And the relationship with God and His people has been established. Right? The tabernacle. All of that has been accomplished. And yet the journey of God's people is just beginning. The journey is just beginning. It's just starting. All of that is the background for the journey, in a sense. This victory of God, this revelation of who God is, this relationship with God, all of that is now the background for the journey to continue. And that's exactly the way it is in our lives. You're on a journey. You're on a spiritual journey. The Lord Jesus Christ has come to your life and said, will you follow me? And if you've answered that and you said, yes, Jesus, I will follow you, then you need to know something. You need to know the victory has already been won. The victory of God has been won through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The heart of God has been revealed through Jesus. In the Gospels, we find the greatest revelation of the heart of God you'll ever find, period, been revealed. The relationship is established. God has made a way through Christ for us to know Him and belong to Him, to be redeemed, to be His sons and His daughters. All of that is provided. Now, all of that is the setting. It's the background for you in all your travels. In all your travels. In all your journeys. But you know, the idea in all your travels, it sounds kind of like, you know, I had to call a travel agent and book myself a cruise ship or something. But it's really not that. That's the NIV way, the New International Version way of saying a Hebrew idiom, which literally is the pulling up of the tent pegs. The pulling up of the tent pegs. That's literally what it says. The cloud of the Lord was before their eyes in all of the pulling up of the tent pegs. It doesn't sound very poetic, so they just said all their travels, right? But I like the tent peg thing. I get that. It's like pulling up steak, you know? Have you ever been out camping? Tent camping? We were tent camping one time. It was a church camp out. This is a true story. Dave, Clackamas River. We're going to have this is a weekend thing. Sunday we're having a church baptism. And so people are going to drive out who didn't camp. They're going to drive out for the baptism in the Clackamas River. It's going to be beautiful, amazing, just like John the Baptist. I'm going to get locusts out there and just, you know, be the baptizer at the river. It's going to be amazing. Well, Saturday night, like the biggest thunderstorm that had hit in 10 years descended upon us. And we had forgotten, we had lost the rain fly for our tent. And so we're in there and it's literally our sleeping bags, you know, and the kids are there and they're screaming and it's cold and the rain's coming down. Daddy, we gotta leave. We're not leaving. I'm the pastor. We're staying. Okay, no matter what, we're not leaving. I'm the pastor. We're having a baptism tomorrow. But Daddy, it's terrible. And you hear cars starting up. You know, next, you know, driving away. People are up in the dark, you know, falling over things and packing up their tents and leaving. We're not leaving. We get up in the morning. The camp is just empty. You know, everyone's gone. You know, just a few of us, the stout-hearted, the committed, we're still there. I mean, people pulled up the tent pegs so fast, it was ridiculous, and got out of there. And then I was so defeated, I said, we're leaving, cancel the baptism. We actually were driving out, people were driving in, and we were all just driving away going, it's canceled, forget it. It's terrible. The pulling up of the tent pegs, moving on to another thing. So I get this. I understand this in life. I know what this is like. You know, when I was a young guy, we moved a lot. So between the time I was 0 and 11, we had moved every single year of our lives into a new house. Every year. Okay? And then the parents got divorced, and then I had two places to move from, you know, everywhere. So, I mean, it's just like it was complete chaos. It's like always a new house, always a new neighborhood, always a new school, always new friends or none. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what it is. It's like this instability, this insecurity, and it's a symptom of our whole society. We're the mobile society, aren't we? We're a mobile society. People are moving like never before. They're pulling up the stakes. They're pulling up the tent pegs for a job over here or for a dream over there or because of a tragedy that happened in their life and they're trying to get away and leave town. And we are the tent peg pullers of all history. And we just get up and we move. And we move on. I think I get this. So it's fascinating to me that God's people, they did the same thing. And if you think you moved a lot, these guys moved. We're told in Numbers, chapter 33, that they moved 42 times in this journey before they got to the Promised Land. 42 times. Count them. You can count them. Go to Numbers, and for those of you who like Bible trivia, there is no trivia in the Bible. I shouldn't have said that, actually. It's all important. And in Numbers 33, it says, here are the stages in the journey of the Israelites when they came out of Egypt by divisions. under the leadership of Moses. There's stages. And the word stages is the same Hebrew word. It's the pulling up of the tent pegs. This is the pulling up of the tent pegs. And so there's a lot of ways they translate this because it's just sort of an idiomatic phrase in the Hebrew. At the Lord's command, Moses recorded the stages in their journey. Every time they pulled up the stakes, he recorded it. This is their journey by the pulling up of the stakes. The Israelites set out from Ramses on the 15th day of the first month, the day after the Passover, and they marched out boldly in full view of the Egyptians. And that started their journey. First time. They pulled up stake in Egypt. And they kept going and saying, well, here, now we're home. God says, no. No, you're not home now. Pull up the stakes again. Okay, they go over here. Okay, are we home now? No. No. Lord says, follow me. Follow me in life. I'm not a prophet, but I will guarantee you this thing. Your life is going to change. It's an absolute. Your life is going to change. There's two reasons why I know it's going to change. I know it's going to change because of the nature of life itself. You know, this is to live our lives in this beautiful yet broken world means change. Seasons of life. Your life's going to change. Your job's going to change. Where you live might change. Friends may come and go. You may get married. Your life changes. You have kids. Good Lord. You have two and then you have the third. That's out of control. Kids become teenagers. Life changes. Teenagers grow up, have their own kids. Life changes again. People we love get sick. They die. Things change. It is the nature of life. I guarantee your life's going to change. You ready for change? But here's the other thing. Spiritually, it's guaranteed life's going to change because you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And he's leading you, ever moving you into something new in your life. Ever moving you deeper into his purpose and his plan. He wants to change the world. He wants to change you so you can change the world. Change is the functional word there, okay? So I guarantee this. So the question becomes, knowing that it's all about the pulling up of the tent pegs, the question becomes, how can we continue to move forward in our life with God in fullness of faith? With strength, with confidence. What can we do so we don't get stuck somewhere? Clinging to some place or some relationship or something, saying, oh, this is it, this is my security blanket. I don't want to see anything change. Okay, what are we going to do? Here's the final thing that you see in the book of Exodus. God gives his people a focal point for their faith. A focal point. And that focal point of faith is what allows them to continue to move forward through all the changes of life. Do you have a focal point of faith? Is it big enough? Is it great enough? Will it do the job for you through all the changes? Take a look again at Exodus chapter 40. In verse 36, in all the pulling up of the tent pegs of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. And so the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and the fire was in the cloud by night before the eyes of the whole house of Israel every time they pulled up the tent pegs. The cloud of God's glory was before their eyes. Day and night. Every day. Every time change came. Every time challenge came. Every time that they would feel insecure and nervous or upset because, hey, I just got settled here. God gave them a focal point for faith. It was the cloud of his glory. And it was ever before their eyes. Exodus has been really cool, hasn't it? It's been a great book. You know what the very last thing in Exodus is? God gives them a focal point for their faith that will always be with them forever, every day of their life, through all the changes. God gives them a focal point for their faith and says, look at this. You look at this. You keep your eyes on this. And you're going to keep moving forward. And that's crucial. And you know, you need to understand, if you want to understand the cloud, this whole thing about the cloud, we need to understand that it's not just about the special effects. Okay? Because I'm trying to picture it. You're like, what is the cloud? What does it look like? Is it energy? I mean, what exactly is it? And then I realized something. The cloud, it's not about the glowing cloud. The cloud becomes the reference point to the story. The cloud becomes the symbol, not just that God is with them, but of everything that God is and all that He's done for them. Because, see, they've been looking at this cloud through the whole story. I mean, when things really got heated and Pharaoh was coming out and chasing them, right after the blood of the lamb had been shed so that they could be saved, and they went out, they saw the cloud, they went, oh, what's this? It's God. And they go, there's the presence of God. But what they begin to realize was, what does this cloud mean? It means God is with us. It means that God is leading us. It means that God is protecting us. It means that God is able. It means that God is powerful. Because in association with the cloud, they saw all of that displayed right in front of them. Every time they saw the cloud, they thought, this is our God. This is the God who found us as slaves and led us into freedom. This is our God. This is the God who led us through the Red Sea when there was no way. He made a way. When they went in the wilderness and there was no food to eat and no water to drink, He provided. They said, this is our God. It's the God who's with the cloud. And then when God revealed His very heart to Moses, it was when Moses went up into that cloud. And yeah, I think these people are going, they see the cloud, but what they're thinking not just is, oh, that's a pretty cloud. I think they're looking at that cloud and they're going, this is our God who saves us. This is our God who's great enough for anything life can bring us. This is our God who's given us meaning and purpose in life. This is our God whose heart has been shown to us, a heart of love and compassion and grace. This is our God, and He's right in our midst. Now, having that focal point of faith, it overshadowed all the other stuff of life ever before their eyes. So doesn't the Lord ask us a question? Last thing in Exodus, He asks us a question. He says, what's in front of your eyes? What's your focal point in life? Is it the Lord? And if it is the Lord, do you know how to fill in the blank? Now, I want to submit to you today that it is Jesus Christ who is to be our focal point. It is the Lord Jesus. It is the name of Jesus, our Savior. And the question is, what does that name mean to you? When you hear the name Jesus, can you fill in the blank? Can you say, oh, Jesus is with me? Well, that's great. Yes, and Jesus is my Lord and my God, who has defeated my enemy. And Jesus is my Lord and Savior who paid for my sin. And Jesus is my Lord and God who revealed the heart of the Father to my life. That's who Jesus is. It's beautiful. When I read the end of the book of Exodus, it reminds me of the end of the Gospels of Jesus Christ. So I want you to turn to the New Testament and look at the end of Matthew. The end. It's not the end. It's just the beginning. The end. All this is accomplished. God's victory accomplished. God's heart revealed. Relationship with God established. Awesome. That's great. But that's not the end. That's just the beginning. The Gospels are amazing. You read the Gospels and, you know, it's a story, 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 story. And Jesus is risen in His life. And what? Well, wait. It's over? Well, no, not really. It's just beginning. Matthew chapter 28 in verse 18. Then Jesus came to them, the risen Lord, and He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Jesus, the risen Lord, shows up. End of the story, not really the end. after all is accomplished, and he says, now go. Because it's about movement. It's about a journey. It's about travel. But to do it, you're going to have to pull up some tent pegs occasionally to follow the Lord. He says, go. I've got a mission for you. I've got a calling for you. I have a plan and a purpose for your life. It's amazing. I give you a new identity. I set you free to do something, not to sit around. Come on, let's go. Go out and impact the world. And so, you know, I can imagine them being on overload. Say, what did you just say to me? Okay, hello, we're just some fishermen from Galilee. No, go to the ends of the earth. But, well, wait a minute now. So do I have to have a garage sale? Do I have to sell my house? I mean, what do I have to do? The Lord says, go. Get moving. Well, how can I do that? Oh, well, you'll need a focal point for your faith then. What might that be? Well, how about the last line of the Gospel of Matthew? And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Focal point for faith. I will be with you. Every day. No matter where you go. In a changing world and in a changing life, there is one thing that never changes. And that is the reality of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews says, always the same. Doesn't change. He's always, always with us. Here's the promise of God to you. Jesus says, I will be with you, even to the end. I'm walking with you. I love you. I'm with you. Now, if you believe that, it will give you the strength that you need to work through the changes of life. And we have to, because life's going to change. So now do you see why it is the goal of the Christian life is to more deeply know Jesus Christ? We're not just here to, you know, so that we can be correct in our theology, though I'd like you to be correct in your theology. But the point of it all is that as you understand the reality of Jesus Christ, what he's accomplished, what he's revealed, what he's established, as you comprehend that, understand it, appreciate it, believe that, it begins to empower your life and it becomes the reference point for all that you think, all that you feel, all that you experience. It becomes the center. The center. At the center of Israel was the cloud of God's presence. At the center. At the center of the Christian faith is Jesus Christ. Our faith in Him and our understanding of Him. And so I like to say we live from the center, but we push to the edge. You know? We live from the center. Well, where is the center? It's anywhere. Anywhere you go is the center. If your eyes are on Jesus, you're at the center. Now you're free to push to the edges. Just go. Just go. Take a risk. You know? See what God will do. That's the message of Exodus. That's the message of the gospel. It's amazing. And now, as we said, it all goes back to Exodus. It always goes back to Exodus. And so we find this theme projected all through the Scriptures. We'll look at a couple verses right now. Let's just go to, how about Hebrews in chapter 12? Talk about movement. A journey. Here's a good verse. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, you know, the book of Hebrews was written to people who were stuck. I don't know if you know that, but they were stuck. They just weren't making progress in their faith. They were having no impact for God in this world. They're just stuck. The whole book is to get people unstuck, to get them moving, And throughout the book, you'll see over and over again this idea. Therefore, consider Jesus. Hebrews 3:1. Consider Jesus. Think about Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our faith. Think about him. Look at Jesus. Consider Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Why? Because that's what gets you moving again. It's not rules and regulations and threats and guilt that get people moving. It doesn't work. You know what gets you moving? Jesus. Jesus. Fix your eyes on him. When you're afraid, when you're insecure, when you don't like the changes happening in life and you don't know what to do next, what are you supposed to do? Put your eyes on Jesus. Okay? Well, what should I think about Jesus? And Jesus did a lot of stuff. What should I think about? I love these little summaries. Hebrews 12, verse 2. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and now he's seated at the right hand of God. Don't you love these little theological summary statements? They're very important. People might miss how important they are. They're important because they actually train us how to think about Jesus. Everything Jesus did and said is important, but the New Testament is amazing in extracting the essence of the Christian faith and presenting it to us in such a way that we say, oh, now I know what to really focus on. You focus on this. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. I want you to think about Jesus and think that it was his joy to go to the cross for you. Think about that. It was his joy to go to the cross for you. If God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, will he not, along with him, give us all things, it says in Romans 8:32? God will give us all things. How do you know that? Well, if he spared not his son. You know, I mean, if he did the greatest thing, won't he do the lesser thing? Think about Jesus. Think about this joy, please. Brothers and sisters, think about this, because if you think about this, you will become convinced that God will meet you in your circumstance right now. Whatever it is, in your extremity, whatever you're going through, he will meet you in this today. Think about Jesus. Think about his cross. He endured that cross, despising its shame, but he did it for you. And now he's seated at the right hand of God. That's the victory of his resurrection. That's the victory of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. You think about that. You think there's anything you'll ever face in life that Jesus Christ is not adequate to deal with? Think about Jesus. I love this final picture in Exodus. And I'll give you one last word from Exodus. Trust God. Trust him for his timing and for his guidance. Remember in chapter 40 where it said that whenever the cloud lifted up, they'd pull up the tent pegs and they'd go, follow. Whenever it stayed, they'd stay. Later in Numbers, chapter 9, 15 and on, it talks about this thing and how sometimes the cloud would stay for one day, sometimes two, sometimes a month, sometimes a year, and they just stay. They had to trust God for his timing in this thing, in his guidance. God has you where you are for a reason. It's okay. You say, well, it's kind of hard. Well, it's okay. He knows where you need to be in order to experience more of him. Trust him. Keep your eyes on Jesus. God will direct your path. I promise you, he'll direct your path. Don't despair. He's working in your life and around you in the world and in our church. He's working. We're going to keep our eyes on him and follow through all the changes and watch what God will do. It's going to be amazing. Would you pray with me? Thank you so much, Lord, for the book of Exodus, Lord, because it's a story that is amazing. It's epic. It's empowering. I guess most of all, it's revealing of who you are, your heart, your ways, your salvation through Christ. And we thank you for it, Lord. We want to be hearers and doers of the word. Now, Lord, at the end of Exodus and the beginning of a journey of walking with you in our life, we pray that we will know how to fix our eyes on Jesus. And that because of it, you'll strengthen and transform every day of our lives, Lord. That we'll find our security in you and not in circumstances. And that you'll help us to work through the changes, Lord, because you never change. Bless, Lord, you know the needs of each person, and I pray you'll meet them even as they worship. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship the Lord.